Sportsnet 650.
Do the Canucks have a future superstar on the roster or in the system? There's a couple of guys I have in mind. We'll get to that in a second. But we do have NHL analyst, Sportsnet's very own hockey insider, Nick Kyprios, on the line. Nick, thanks for joining us today, my friend.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. The Vancouver Canucks have gotten off to a good start so far this season. And Travis Green's sort of been at the center of it. Ken Hitchcock last night had a lot of good things to say about Travis Green and how he's sort of been able to get the most out of this Canucks team through 11 games this season. What's sort of the vibe you're getting around the league about the job Travis Green has done so far with the Canucks?
Well, first of all, it really does kind of take some big cojones to step in right away as a rookie coach and kind of set a tone right from the get-go. First of all, you know, the fact that they've won six games already is a huge story. I think it kind of gets buried a little bit, maybe because of Las Vegas and a couple other storylines. But, you know, for Travis Green to kind of set the tone with the Sedins taking a bit of a secondary role here is a huge story. And the fact that they've come out of the gates very, very well, considering that everybody thought it was a foregone conclusion that they'd be in another lottery pick and trying to build through the draft again. It speaks volumes, I think, for the type of guy that Travis Green is, the style of coaching, the kind of no-nonsense approach to get success this early and still send a message of how you want to develop the future. I think it's a great sign for Vancouver.
One thing that's been talked a lot about in this market has been, are the Canucks looking to make a move? And, you know, the Duchesne thing's been thrown around before. I know you guys talk about it in Hockey Night in Canada, and there's been talk that the Canucks are looking for another center one way or another. What have you heard in terms of the Canucks working the phones to try to make a deal so far this season?
Well, I don't think I get the sense of urgency at all from the management team or Travis Green putting them in a position of saying that they want to get better. First of all, if you're talking about Duchesne or any other of those prime kind of players that are out there, it's going to take a whole lot. We know that Joe Sakic has set a price tag on Matt Duchesne that a lot of teams won't touch. So in saying that, if there is any interest in Vancouver, then you got to start with what is still perceived as blue chip prospects. So Yo Levy is a defenseman that they picked high in the first round. Is that enough? Do teams, including Colorado, see Yo Levy like other top prospects in the league, or is that kind of still a question mark on what kind of pro he'll be? So, is it a foregone conclusion that he's going to be a star in this league, or do they want to see a little more progress before they make a commitment like that? But regardless, certainly with the start that Vancouver has, there's no sense of urgency to do anything except still continue to put the time and effort in developing the guys that are going to be around 3, 4, 6 years from now. And we do know, unfortunately, for Vancouver Canucks fans, that's not going to be the Sedins. Their time is running out.
Now, Sat, what you forgot to mention when you introduced Nick was that he's probably most importantly a former North Bay Centennial.
Oh, yes.
And,
there we go.
You know, so you got to show that Centennial love.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I left it for you to do.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, actually holds the single season goal scoring record in North Bay.
Got to stick together, right?
That's right.
Stick together.
That's right. So, you mentioned off the top some of the good stories in the league. Now let's do as we do and focus on the negative here next. You know, Montreal had a big win last night. Do you see them rounding the corner, or do you think it's going to be more of the same for the Habs?
Well, I don't personally, and I think, Alex, when you look at where the strength of the game right now is and the fact that there's more access now to get the middle of the ice, players are backing off because they're scared they're going to take slashing penalties. So the game is controlled in the middle. And unfortunately, Montreal doesn't have a real grasp at that in a bona fide number one and two. Jonathan Drouin, we all believe, is going to be a great player, but when it's all said and done, is he going to be Montreal's number one centerman for the next 10 years? Does he carry that type of clout in his play? Is he going to be a heavy enough player to match up against other number ones who come in maybe at 6'3", 6'4", and 220, 230? Or is he more of a complementary star who can still make $7 or $8 million and score 35 goals, but doesn't carry that centerpiece type of look? So in saying that, then there's the drop off. Philip Deneau, let's give at least Bergevin a little bit of credit for giving up, not much in Weiss and Fleischmann and getting a guy that has been an unbelievable player for them so far. But again, at best, we're talking about a role on a Stanley Cup contending team that should be no better than a third line centerman. Plekanec has been another great player, but long on the tooth in terms of where he is in his career. So there's really not much to look forward to in the immediate future when it comes to dominating the center of the ice for the Montreal Canadiens. I don't know how you make the playoffs when I look at those three centermen.
Yeah, now when I look across at the Western Conference standings, I see actually in a lower position with fewer wins and fewer points, the Edmonton Oilers. Now, I understand they've played two fewer games, but I think that's a little more shocking that the Oilers are sitting where they're at. Now, what do you see with them going forward?
I see a ton of weight on Connor McDavid to provide 50% of the scoring for them to have a chance to win right now. And even before the season started, I know in our preview show, I kind of questioned where the goals were going to come on the wing. And here we are over 10 games into the season now, and that's the major question. Yamamoto was their best right winger coming out of training camp, and that's a great sign if you're one of the scouts, but it's not a great sign if you're a season ticket holder, because that means that everyone else who has NHL experience, and Yamamoto has none, is no better than a guy that's never played in the league before. So, does Nugent Hopkins get back some of that scoring that he had early in his career? Because that's what it's really going to take for Todd McClellan now to be in a position to play Draisaitl and McDavid a little bit more. It's going to be so hard for McDavid to win another scoring title, I think, if he does not have Draisaitl most nights on his wing. Other than that, you worry about the speed on the left side, the lack of scoring on the right side, the speed on the left side. Maroon, Lucic, and Jokinen. I mean, good NHL players, but just in today's game, if they're not picking up a rebound or working a cycle off the game, there's real no threat off the rush.
We are talking to Nick Kyprios from Sportsnet here on Canucks Central, Sportsnet 650. One final question before we let you go. It has to do with the Vegas Golden Knights and the goalie situation. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury injured. You have Malcolm Subban injured. Oscar Dansk got hurt last night, and now Maxim Legacy is the goalie. What's going to happen in Vegas now? I mean, are they going to be looking to trade? I mean, Alex Auld, I'm trying to get Alex to go and suit up for the Vegas Golden Knights this weekend.
Wow. Is Legacy going to get out of the first period?
Right.
Before they call up the emergency goaltender, we're out of Kamloops, I think, a mid-round pick. Can you imagine Alex now? You've just been drafted. You're not even a high pick. And you leave your junior team to potentially play in the National Hockey League. Can you imagine what's going through his mind right now? He's excited and just scared to death all at the same time.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in all my days of covering the NHL, including being a player.
It's a crazy, crazy situation. He's probably loving it. He's going to enjoy the paycheck when it comes in a couple weeks, but he's probably a little nervous for sure. Well, we were talking last night, and I guess they were talking about potentially signing Corey Hirsch, but then they were worried because he wouldn't clear waivers because he has to clear waivers if he comes out of retirement. So they didn't want to risk losing him in that way. But it's an interesting situation for sure.
Hey, dust off the pads, boys. Dust off the pads.
Hey, I might become a goalie all of a sudden if they'll take me. I mean, hey, they don't have much choice, in, it seems like, nowadays. But hey, Nick Kypreos, thanks for giving us some time. We appreciate it, and hopefully talk to you again soon, all right?
Sportsnet 650.